This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. Hey, thanks for hanging out with us here on Kelly and Company, wherever you are around the world. Really nice to know you're out there. Always wonderful to hear from you, whichever way you choose to do so. And remember, we're here weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. midnight, and 5 a.m. in the morning for the repeats of the program. Kelly McDonald at the home studio in London, Ontario. Rumya Muthan at their home studio in Toronto. Boy, we're pushing it when it comes to the temperature. Some would say, wow, we're almost in summer. So somebody's hit fast forward, Rum.
Yeah, it feels like it. I mean, the kind of heat that I'm feeling and the fans going and windows open, it might as well be summer. Sunshine.
Oh, yeah, and sunshine. And Rum, a big fan of the sunshine. You know what? I don't mind it warm a little with a bit of cloud. So I'm good that way, either way. But folks, get it right. He's not complaining. It just sort of sounds like it. Anyway, enough of that. Let's bring on our friend from the UK, Fern Lullum.
What's on your mind? I'm Fern Lullum from the UK, and whether serious, silly, or somewhere in between, I've got you covered. Let's face it, the most effective therapy is a chat with your bestie.
Fern always seems to be able to bring us some stuff. You look at it and say, wow, this looks interesting. These people seem really like they're out there doing some great things, and I love hearing about this kind of stuff. So we welcome Fern back to the program, and today we're going to be talking about an international charity that works to treat and prevent blindness in developing countries and to create more inclusive societies for the blind and other disabled people out there. Thanks, Fern.
Yes, indeed. So today I'm going to be talking about Sight Savers and the remarkable work that they do. And just one example of that is that between 1950 and 2018, they had supported no less than 7.3 million cataract operations.
Wow.
That's a lot of cataracts.
Wow. Wow. And that's something to really say, like, hey, and stand proud over. Tell us a little bit more about their history.
Right. So it all started with a man called John Wilson in 1931, and he was blinded by an explosion during a school chemistry lesson. And that kind of sounds familiar to my school chemistry lessons, explosions. He went on to study law at Oxford University here in the UK, and then he got a job with the National Institute for the Blind. And then in 1946, he went on a tour of Africa and the Middle East, and was shocked to see the scale of blindness and the condition of blind people were living in. So shocked was he, in fact, that he decided that he's got to do something about it.
Okay, well, he sounds like a remarkable person. This sounds like it's going to be a remarkable story. So what was John Wilson inspired to do then when he saw this?
Well, he certainly didn't do things by halves, our John Wilson. Oh, no. In 1950, he founded the British Empire Society for the Blind, and that's the organisation that we now know as Sight Savers. So in its first year, the society formed organisations for blind people in six countries. That's a good first year for a charity.
Wow. Yeah, I guess so, man. You kind of made sure he had a day or two off a week, I'm sure. Right. Obviously, a lot of determination and a man very ready to make his mark in supporting the blind community. So how did things progress from there, Fern?
Well, I think one of the things that shaped John Wilson's work was this survey done in West Africa in 1953, and that showed that 80% of blindness was either preventable or curable. So I think that that must have kind of convinced him the massive scope that there were for things to be improved.
Yeah, isn't that an interesting way to think about it? I mean, the first thing I thought was, then I probably don't know 80% of the type of blindnesses out there.
Right,
so it's a remarkable statistic. Can you give us an example of an eye condition that Sight Savers are tackling?
Well, one of the main conditions that causes problems is called river blindness, and that's because it's spread by a bite of an infected fly that they live near the rivers in these places. And so if this infection caused by these bites spreads to the eyes, it can then lead to irreversible sight loss.
Just amazes me because depending where you are in the world, you're going to have your leading conditions of anything, I guess. But you could so much be led down that garden path of, oh, well, I'm here in Canada and the big things are this eye condition, that eye condition. But how big a problem, Fern, is this condition?
Yeah, it's very big. So 205 million people are at risk of getting this condition. So it's on a huge scale. And 20.9 million are actually infected. Most of these people live in sub-Saharan Africa, and 1.1 million people worldwide are blind because of this very disease.
Mm. Wow. Okay, those are obviously shocking numbers. Can you tell us about the work that SightSavers is doing to tackle this?
Yeah, so one of the main ways that they're doing this is by administration of antibiotics. So indeed, in 2017, SightSavers announced the distribution of their 1 billion treatment for people affected by tropical diseases like river blindness, the one that I just mentioned there. Mm-hmm. This was for a 7-year-old girl called Dorcas living in Nigeria.
Fern, a little earlier, you mentioned cataracts. What help is being given on those?
Well, although cataract surgery is common, and, you know, a lot of people will know about it, a lot of people know people who have had it, and, you know, it's quite easy to perform, resources in these developing countries for cataracts can be quite scarce. So since 1950, SightSavers have trained more than 1,000 surgeons to perform cataract operations, which is amazing.
Yeah, it is. And like you said, and we were talking about this earlier in the show as well, when it came to the COVID-19 vaccine, we got to think about all the countries out there and the kinds of resources that they have access to, or in this case, don't have access to. So it's clear that the organization has done some incredible work to treat and prevent blindness that is acceptable and available. But we know that they also work to make societies more inclusive for blind people. So tell us more about that part.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a well-established fact that there are links between disability and poverty. So generally speaking, disabled people find it harder to get work. And so, they have less income as a result. And it's a vicious circle in that way. So one of the things that SightSavers do to provide a vocational training, and they will also work with employers to get to make sure that people can get opportunities for employment for blind and other disabled people. So they're really helping them to get that experience and then go on and work with employers to encourage them to give people a chance.
Yeah. Well, and I guess that does more than just provide more income.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've talked about this before on the show, and I think most disabled people in any part of the world would say that having a job improves the way that you feel about yourself and your place in society. And I think that when disabled people are seen by others in work or taking part in sports, your favorite, Kelly, it does do so much for normalizing disability and helps to show that our similarities to non-disabled people far outweigh our differences. At the end of the day, we all want to feel worthy and valuable and like we have a place in society and that we're useful. You know, everyone wants that, don't they?
Yeah. And somewhere to go every day when you get up, you have your tasks that you do, whether it's a job, whether it's taking care of a household or whatever. It's that confidence to be able to do. It's not all about the money.
No, absolutely. And that makes such a big difference to your self-esteem and how you feel about yourself.
Yep, exactly. Well, this is clearly a really good profile that we've done today. Thanks for bringing this to us, because I mean, they're charity that prevents and helps treat blindness and works to build a more inclusive world for disabled people. So what's not to like? And Fern, something else on the radar that we may want to say a few words about and bring attention.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, what just, am I happy?
I don't know if it's available, if we can talk about it, is a certain podcast, which this month is kind of following this theme and looking at an aspect of disability. So, you want to tell us a little bit about Into You?
Yeah. Do you know what? I thought that you might never mention that, Ramya, and I'm so glad you did, because, you know, it's a pressing issue, as we all know. Yes, the latest episode of Into You, the podcast hosted by myself, if you didn't already know, where have you been? It is now out on your favorite podcatcher. I know you've all got one. Everyone's got a favorite podcatcher. And this month is dealing with dating and disability. So if you're disabled and you've had some dating experiences, you might be able to relate to some of the experiences shared. My two disabled guests have amazing attitudes to life, and they've got some really interesting views on dating. So you don't want to miss it.
Sounds awesome. Yeah. And I like how you make mention everybody has their favorite podcatcher, because that you want to talk about something being personal is when you talk to people and, oh, I prefer this podcatcher. I find it easy to use. Oh, it's ridiculous. I don't like that one. Everyone's got their thing, Fern, as you said.
Absolutely. You know it. Yeah. And I don't mind which one you listen to, but just make sure you listen. Okay.
Oh, that's it. How is production going? I mean, I know your partner, you guys put it together and everything like that, and things sound good and you have fun with it. But now that you're this far in, what has been the biggest challenge doing a podcast?
Working with my other half. I mean, I think the ironic thing is I'm doing a dating and relationship podcast. And yes, as you say, my technician sound guy is my partner. So that's always good fun. I mean, as I've mentioned on the show before, we never have a crossword between us. It is, you know, a paradise relationship. Of sorts. But, you know, sometimes you just have to battle through some challenges, some ups and downs, but it's all right. We're okay. We're still together.
No fights in paradise.
What is that?
I've never heard of that.
Artistic creativity?
Yeah. Yeah, whatever you want to spin it. You know, we talked about verbiage earlier on the show, too. This is a good example of it.
That's the polite way of putting it.
And Fern, you've mentioned before as well, and I just want to bring it up because you mentioned talking disability on the upcoming episode, that it wasn't going to be a super disability focused podcast. It comes and goes, and especially for you who has the experience of disability, but not all your guests and not all your topics revolve around the intersectionality with disability.
No, exactly. And I think, again, that's another part of normalizing it. Like I was just saying in that story, that some issues, yes, are very disability orientated. And there's some things that, you know, as disabled people, we go through that non-disabled people won't go through. But the majority of things, especially when you're talking about emotional issues, like we were saying with getting a job and relationships and dating, a lot of the things that you go through are the same things, whether you have a disability or not. So, you know, I did a podcast on ghosting. Anyone can go through that. And this time we just wanted to focus on disability from both sides, to see it, you know, from a non-disabled point of view and a disabled point of view, and just explore that a little bit. And obviously, you know, like you say, I've got a vested interest. I've been there. I know what it's like to date with a disability. So yeah, it's just great to explore all of those issues and to talk to some really interesting guests. So one of them had cerebral palsy and is a wheelchair user, and the other one was born with only one arm. And then you got me, who's blind, in the mix. So we got a whole spectrum of different things going on.
Different experiences to share. It's really a lot about one's perspective. Everyone, we all go through each thing in our life, but when we go through it, it's our own. Oh my, you know, nobody in the world has gone through this.
Yeah, absolutely. You can feel very alone at times in dating, can't you? But actually, it's true. When every time I do these podcasts and I talk to guests, they always say something that I can relate to, whoever they are. You know, they could be completely different from me, but something they say will really strike a hard emotional chord with me. And it's amazing. And like I say, it just goes to show how similar we all are, regardless of our surface level differences.
Correct. No matter what the topic is. Fernie, as usual, great. Good luck with the podcast. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks. Can't wait. Have a good show.
Thank you. Fern Lullum joins us every other Thursday for UK Disability Highlights here on Kelly and Company. Coming up next, Halton Healthcare is piloting Blind Square to create a more accessible experience by ensuring that individuals with sight loss have the opportunity to navigate the hospital safely. and very independently. We speak with Jack McCormick next, organizational development consultant of Halton Healthcare, about how this project is going. Stand by.
You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.